Well, good morning. We're heading through this series on love today. We're going to talk about truth in a different way. And I just had some neat things that I collected along the way that I want to start with. 20 years ago, so I've been here about 21 years, so this is right after I first got here at our church. And Arizona Republic came out with this poll or this recent study they had done. And they studied how honest the people in Phoenix were at that time. So this is a 20-year-old poll, and I just want you to listen to what they came up with. They reported the results in an article called Truth and Consequences. Their conclusions were that 20% of the people in Maricopa County said making more money is enough justification to lie. 25% said it was okay to lie just to make yourself look good. 30% said they had lied on a job application. 46% said they knew a friend who had cheated on their spouse. 51% said people are not as honest as they were 10 years ago. And nearly 60% said it was okay to lie to save yourself some embarrassment. So just kind of further the study just a little bit this morning, how many of you would say that lying is a worse issue today than it was even 20 years ago? Like everybody's hand last service went up. It just seems like it's gotten more and more prevalent, more and more accepted in different ways. And yet you go to scripture and it shares a very countercultural kind of message. It says that honesty is the best policy. And if honesty is really the best policy, then what this study is basically saying is that we're not very honest in our country, or maybe it's just Phoenix. I don't know. We're just not very honest in Phoenix. More recently, this is a 10-year-old study now. A book came out 10 years ago entitled The Day America Told the Truth. In a national survey, they paid people $10, and apparently that was enough to get them to bare their souls, right? $10 to tell the truth about the most intimate parts of their lives. It read, as a conclusion, a nation of liars. A new survey shows that America is adrift, and they asked, whom have you regularly lied to? 86% said to parents, 75% said to friends, 61% to a boss, 59% to kids, 73% to a brother or sister, 69% to a lover. Their conclusion after all this, it's no wonder we have fragmenting relationships today. Because the truth is, you gotta have honesty for relationship to hold together. You just got to have it, or it just breaks. In fact, only you build trust is through honesty. And so in the midst of all this noise, it's an interesting thing. The Bible says love rejoices in the truth. Remember, we're going through the series on what love is and what love isn't, right? In God's definition. Love rejoices in the truth. It desires it. It wants it. Again, in Ephesians 4:15, let our lives speak lovingly, express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Why? Again, because dishonesty, it just destroys relationships every single time. So today I want to take a look at how do you tell the truth to other people, because obviously dishonesty destroys relationships, and even telling the truth in a harsh way, kind of as a club way, that destroys relationships too. And so how do you insert this truth thing into our lives in a way that shows other people respect and shares with them actually the truth? How do we heal our relationships by telling the truth more? How does God say to do it? He actually gives us three kind of things to think about this morning, three kind of rails, if you will, on telling the truth in our lives. And I'm telling you, if you would implement this, it would change and transform your life, something fierce in terms of your relationships. First one, and this is going to sound obvious, right? But tell the truth consistently. I say that, for example, if you were to go to your spouse and say, honey, I've been praying about it a lot, okay? And I want you to know I love you so much, I'm willing to be faithful to you 6 out of 7 days. That's like 85%. How do you think that would go? It would not go well, I promise you that. Why? Because if you're not faithful 100% of the time, you're not faithful at all. If you don't have integrity all of the time, you don't have integrity, right? If you lie 10% of the time, we call you what? We call you a liar. Survey said that the number one thing people wanted in a relationship, despite all these kind of metrics that they keep coming out with, the number one thing that people wanted in a relationship was what? Anybody guess? Honesty. I just want somebody to be honest with me. The number one characteristic they want in a friend or in a marriage partner is, again, honesty. And it makes sense, right? One of the ways that we test all of these things we've been talking about in love is how do we want to be treated? And none of us want to be lied to. None of us want to be told a half-truth, right? Because what is that? It's a whole lie. It's funny, too, when you start talking to people about, is lying always the best policy? And they will genuflect something fierce trying to come up with these scenarios where it's, you know, where it's okay to tell a little white lie, or it's okay to tell a half-truth, or is not saying anything, is that lying? And so I changed the word from lying to deceiving. If you don't share something you know you need to share, are you trying to deceive the person? The answer is yes. If you tell a half-truth, are you trying to deceive by not sharing that other part of that half-truth? The answer is yes. Deception is the same thing as lying, and Satan is the father of both. So I'll hear people come to me as a result of this culture that we live in, and they'll say, Pastor, we've been going to counseling, but we're just not making any progress, you know, in our marriage. It just seems like nothing's moving forward, and we just don't understand what's going on. And the answer almost always is that somebody's not telling the truth, or at least not the whole truth. And you can't move forward unless the whole truth is shared. If you're having an affair and that's the piece that you're not bringing forward in counseling, how easy is it for you to move forward in that relationship? It's impossible. If you've embezzled all sorts of money from your company and you're keeping that a secret from your wife, how are you possibly going to move forward if that's the secret you're holding on to? It's just a matter of time in so many of those cases before it comes out and it destroys everything. One of the biggest problems in relationships, in marriage specifically, is people don't share the whole truth and it gets them into all sorts of problems. In Proverbs 13:17, it says, reliable communication then permits progress. In other words, all good relationships are built on trust, and trust building only comes through truth-telling. Not a surprise there. Trust and truth go together, and the way you build trust is by telling the truth. In Proverbs 11:3, it says, people who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. And I don't know if you remember this show. Looking out there, most of you wouldn't. It's an old show, but it was called To Tell the Truth. It had Kitty Carlisle, Bennett Cerf, and Bill Cullen. And the object of the show was the better liar you were, the more money you made. And I think we sort of take that, and that's our new business model for 2025, I guess. But God shouts into that noise of our culture, and also he would say this against this TV show. He would say that's wrong. The truth is, the better you tell the truth, the more profitable you're going to be. It's good business, they say, to tell the truth because, and this is why, in the long run, all the lies are going to be found out. And that seems true as you look at politics, as you look at different companies. I mean, there's so many fly-by-night companies that kind of operate under not saying the whole truth, and they're here for a while, then they're exposed and they're gone. In fact, when you're looking for a company, it's something you don't use very often, like an electrician or a plumber, or, I don't know, something you're looking through the phone book, maybe you've just moved to the area. What's one of the first things that you look at if nobody's recommended one and you're just kind of flying blind looking at it? One of the first things you look at is how long has this company been operating in Arizona, and why do you do that? You want to know that they have a track record. And then you look at the Better Business Bureau. If they've been around for 70 years and their Better Business Bureau thing is good, then you're like, well, maybe they're a decent company. If they've been here for 2 years and they have all sorts of stuff on the Better Business Bureau thing, you're thinking, I don't know. Anyway, it's good business to tell the truth because in the long run, all lies are going to be found out. It's just good business. People who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. In other words, lies sabotage success. Truth stands the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. And so ask yourself, just in the midst of this, how honest am I at work? As you're thinking about this, let me just give you the top 10 American business lies of all time. Number one, the check is in the mail. Your money will be cheerfully refunded. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Your table will be ready in 5 minutes. This offer is limited to the first 100 callers. We service what we sell. One size fits all. Open wide, this won't hurt a bit. This used car is in mint condition. And finally, number 10, I'm from the IRS and I'm here to help. Unfortunately, as a result of all those things, we don't trust very many people anymore. In fact, I always say when we're talking about trusting God, it's hard to trust in our culture today because for most people, we can't even number 5 people in our life that we absolutely trust without qualification. And basically, as we look at this study that was done way back in the day by the Arizona Republic, they said we don't trust anybody back then either. In fact, they came up with this other thing. Who do you think was the most trusted profession mentioned 20 years ago? Anybody guess? Throw out a guess. Police, right? It was actually pastors. And I say interestingly pastors because back 20 years ago, most pastors preached God's truth. There was one Bible. We believed in the Bible. We liked the translation from the Greek. I mean, it was something we started to stay close to for the most part. Most time you go into a church, most churches, they preach God's truth right from the Bible. I don't know if that would be the same today. In fact, I just say this, never has it been more important in my lifetime and most of your lifetimes to know God's word so that you can vet the people coming up and preaching to you. Because it's unfortunately got that far away in so many different churches today. who came in least advertisers 20 years ago, and that makes sense, that would probably be the same today. Only 10% said you could trust what they say. Second from the bottom, just above advertisers, was auto mechanics, that makes sense. Lawyers, slightly better. Third from the bottom, 35% of the people in Phoenix at that time said you could trust news reporters, that they were honest, but they still rated them below fictional TV characters, just for some reference there. Doctors rated only 3% higher than politicians, with 63% of the population believing that they could be trusted. Think that would be a little different today. And if you're a Christian and you're in any one of these professions, what you shared with me just today when we took that quick little vote is that it's gotten worse. And you have to try doubly, triply, quadruply harder, right, to establish trust with your clients, with the people that you work with, because of the stigma, this automatic bias against you. All I have to say is that we need to tell the truth consistently. Imagine if you did that just for a moment in your life, and that people would be able to count your yes as a yes and your no as a no, and they would just immediately be able to trust you, that you're one of the five people that they know that they can just trust. How different it would be. Number one, you never have to say I promise to anything, right? A promise is an indictment that you don't tell the truth all the time. You would just say yes, and people would trust you. And there's certain questions they wouldn't ask, like how do I look in this dress? They wouldn't ask that if you're always going to be honest, right? Except for my wife, she's always beautiful, just so you know that. But they would always trust exactly what it is that you say. Second thing in the guide, second rail that he gives us is this. You must tell the truth completely. So don't play games, be straightforward, no half-truths. Telling a half-truth implies a whole lie. And again, it's looking to deceive your hearer. Because there's actually two ways you can lie, not meaning what you say and not saying what you mean. Right, holding back, withdrawing, concealing something from another person. Like the saying I heard one time, if you keep telling white lies, pretty soon you're going to go colorblind. You need to tell the truth, God says, consistently and completely. In Proverbs 10:10, it says, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. What kind of trouble? Well, you recognize this. Bitterness and resentment and mistrust and doubt. Beth and I have some friends. They are awesome Christian people. They are amazing leaders in their own right in church. They have these awesome kids that have been successful. They've been successful their own right. Beautiful home, beautiful family, you name it, right? But there's been one thing that has really just been, you know, the burr in Paul's side kind of thing, a burr in their marriage, something they have struggled with over and over and over and over since the day they were married, and they've been married as long as we have. Is that they're not honest, completely honest with each other. And that bites them in the butt again and again and again. They spent more years in counseling than they have not been in counseling, because every so often, something that they've been withholding comes to light, and now they got to rebuild all the trust again, and they got to rebuild all the hurting, and they got to fix what was broken. And God bless them, they're still in it, right? God bless them, they're still trying, and they're still trying to fix this stuff. It shows you God's grace and his power. It's amazing. But these lies, man, they hurt when we're told them. And when we find out and when they're exposed, it hurts at the duration of the lie, and it hurts at the severity of the lie, and it hurts that they even tried to deceive us in the first place. There's bitter disappointment. There's bitter hardship as a result. And all of this happens when we hold back the truth. Another thing that happens is you get superficiality in relationships. Why? Because you're not fully invested, because you're not fully being honest. It's hard to work through anything if you're not talking about it. I read a book one time called Games Christians Play, about all the games people play today trying to keep people from getting close to them. And so they had this one line, it says, why do we hold back the truth? And it's because, they said, because we're cowards, because we want to avoid conflict. They think, if I tell the truth in this moment, they're going to blow up. And so the operating principle or operating word today is don't rock the boat in this relationship, they said. Keep the peace at all price. The problem is you go to God and he says, it doesn't work that way. If you don't actually deal with real things, you're going to come up with this conversation again and again and again and again. You're going to keep not moving forward with anything in the relationship. You're going to struggle. You've got to get to an honest place. You've got to lay everything on this table, right? You've got to tell the truth. In Proverbs 28, verse 23, it says, in the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. Even in that poll, right, the Arizona Republic did, what do they want most in a relationship? Honesty. And the hard part with all this is that usually when you're frank with somebody and you tell them the truth, and it's a hard truth, right? We know the difference between easy truths and hard truths. So often there's a lot of unpleasantness that we receive in return. It can be difficult and painful. There's anger, and sometimes there's frightening emotions and feelings that come forward. And we say in the midst of that, I think, you know, objectively, we all, you know, in theory think that honesty is the best policy. But right now, I don't think it's the best policy at all because they're screaming at me, and this is scary. And I don't know if our relationship's going to make it to the other side of this, all because I shared a hard truth. I mean, we have excuses, right? If I told my parents the truth, they'd kick me out of the house. If I told my boss the truth about this project, he'd fire me. If I told my husband how I really feel about the relationship, he'd blow up. If I told my wife about the frustrations I have about our love life, she'd say I have a one-track mind. If I told my pastor what I really think about his sermon, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, but here's the thing. I'd speak into all that rationale, right? There's the thing. Avoidance only creates more problems. It only makes it worse, deeper, and ultimately makes it much, much more difficult to move forward. You're just postponing the inevitable because it's hard to keep a secret for forever. You're postponing the inevitable when you don't tell the truth, and you're only hurting yourself, and you are destroying your relationships. So how do you keep a marriage out of court? Answer is you tell the truth, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. And that's the secret to keeping a marriage out of court. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. If you do that in your marriage, you'll keep it out of court. You will. Because then everything's on the table. And then confession and repentance seems like it's a little bit more real. And so is forgiveness if everything's on the table. If you're not waiting for the next shoe to drop because they've been holding back another lie. It's much easier to forgive when you're looking at all the pieces. It's much easier for God to work. So we need to be honest and open with people. Because again, Scripture says that an honest answer is a good sign of friendship. But when we're frank, it doesn't give us an excuse to just use it as a club, just to beat people over the heads, to be a jerk with it. When you share the truth in love, right, which is what Scripture says, you're doing so that that person hears you. So that somehow it gets to their heart and affects change, not so that you can beat them up and say you were right, which just leads us to the next rail, right? Tell the truth lovingly. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, speak the truth in a spirit of love, not out of anger, resentment, pressure, or hate, but out of love. So he's just saying, don't use the truth as a club. Think of the person you would like to help change. There's actually two truths when you want to help somebody change. One is that people are easier to change and they change faster when truth is wrapped in love and they know that you care. I've shared my faith with a lot of different people over the years, and sometimes that is a hard truth for them. Some of the things that God calls is law, right? It is hard to hear, and yet God's love is still there in the midst of all that. And I know I've shared this multiple times after I shared things. I said, you know, I share this because I love you, right? And I just remember this one guy's response. He was like, yeah, it was just hard to hear. Just hard to hear. But if the takeaway is that they know that you love you, they know that you love them, and that you've shared it because you care, it does a world of difference in how they receive it. They cannot like what you said still, but they can still appreciate the why you said it. I said to my buddy one time, I said, you know why I share all this with you, right? And he goes, yeah, you want me to go to heaven, right? And I do. He asked me one time, you know, do you get a prize if I go to heaven? And I said, yeah, I get to spend my eternity with you. It's, you know, albeit not a great prize, but it is a prize. Like, I get to spend my eternity with you, man. That would be awesome for me. Second thing about this is when we don't share it with love, it's resisted almost every single time. Why? Because without love, we call it manipulation. I'm just trying to get you to change. It's seen as an attack with which we must defend ourselves. And the reality with a lot of marriages today is that don't tell the truth is because we play this role of attacker and defender. If you're married or in a relationship, you get that. Somebody attacks, right? They had a bad day, they come home and they start yelling at you and you immediately defend yourself, whether they're right or not. Attacker and defender. They change the conversation from what it was originally about to something totally different. Does that sound vaguely familiar? Once again, the original issue is forgotten, and we get so involved with the attacking and defending that the dripping faucet or whatever it was that caused that argument in the first place is long forgotten. We do this in politics too. Truth becomes lost in the conversation between attacker and defender. People use attacking and defending to avoid saying what they really mean or avoid hearing what somebody else really wants to tell them and wants them to hear. The alternative to attacking and defending is to speak the truth in love. So how do I know if I'm doing that? You ask yourself this question, for whose benefit am I sharing this information right now? For whose benefit am I about to share the truth? Is it for my benefit or is it for theirs? Is it for my benefit where I can put them down, where I can be right, where I can get the frustration off my chest, where I can blow up, where I can have the cathartic experience and feel amazing, where I can get rid of the guilt? Or am I doing it for their benefit to affect some change in their life that they desperately need or information that they need to have so we can work through this problem? I'm doing it for the relationship. I'm doing it for them. Whose benefit am I doing this? In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs so that it may benefit all that listen." Doesn't mean it always benefits them. If you have some sin that you're coming out with and you're sharing in the midst of that relationship that's going to be hard for them to hear, you need to be prepared that they're going to have a hard time hearing it. You share it in love because why? Not for them so much, but for that relationship to move forward. You need to get everything on the table so you can move forward because you haven't been totally invested. You haven't been totally there. You haven't been totally honest, and it's keeping you from getting to the other side of this. Is that scary? Yeah, it's scary. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. Is there a lot of horrible feelings and scary feelings that come up in the midst of that? You bet it. You bet there is. But the only way to peace is going through sometimes that tunnel of chaos to get there. But if you don't go through that tunnel of chaos, you don't get to peace. Again, you got to ask why you're doing it. It may be the truth, but if it's not helpful, don't share it. Only share what's helpful, building up others in their needs. And if you can't figure out a way, you need to figure out some other way forward. So ultimately, in the midst of all this conversation, let me ask you these questions. Who are you failing to be honest with right now? I mean, where are you holding back the truth and it hurts and you know it? It hurts and there's a problem and you don't want to deal with it. You're scared out of your mind to bring it up. If you can recognize that situation at all, God would say to you, he'd say, quit being a coward and deal with it. He would say it much more flowery. He'd say this. He said, be strong and courageous, but it means essentially the same thing. Or how about this one? What are you pretending not to know right now? There's a problem in your relationship and you're pretending not to know it. You want to fix it, but the only way to fix it is to start talking about it. It's the only way to get to the other side of it. You've got to tell the truth. So why is God such a stickler for the truth? Why does he care so much about this? Because over and over and over, he is equated to the truth. He is the truth. That's what Scripture says. It's not an optional thing with him. And if we want to be like Christ, right, if we want to be like God, we got to tell the truth too as his followers, as a way to testify, right, to give our testimony about who it is that we follow. Jesus says this. He says, I am the truth. So if you're going to be like Christ, we've got to figure out a way to start doing it too, where we can be known as truth tellers in our families, in our relationships, in our communities. Truth be told, some of you have been living a lie. You may fool me, you may fool your family, everyone around you, maybe even yourself, but God knows you've been living a lie. But if that's you, I also need you to hear this morning, that if that's you, you can be forgiven today. That he can give you a different way forward, a fresh start, a new beginning, that he can wipe away all that guilt and give you the strength to be bold and courageous and bringing forward whatever it is to heal those relationships in your life. And if you do God's promises, you can begin to get your life set free. Which, man, if you've been spinning lies, you're in bondage. Because you got to remember all the lies, and you got to remember who you told them to, and you got to keep those plates spinning lest somebody really figure out what's going on. Jesus says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's the kind of life I want to live, and that's the kind of life God wants you to live, free. Where you're free from that anxiety and from that tension, from that stress that comes from faking it and trying to remember. Truth is, you don't have to live that way. You can be transparent where what you see is what you get. And isn't there a freedom in that, a peace in that? Sometimes you might need a moderator to come in as you're sharing hard truths with people that you care about, maybe even a counselor, and that's okay. But it starts with telling the truth, and we do this. Why? Because this is what love does. All the way through this series, this is what love does, or this is what love doesn't do. It's an action that we do to say we care about somebody else more than we do ourselves at the moment. It's the way that God loves us. Don't you love that he always tells us the truth? We always know where we stand with him. He doesn't keep anything back. He tells it the way it is. I love that because there's a peace that comes from knowing that we are loved and forgiven by an amazing God. There's a peace that comes from knowing that we can't so blow it that he can't forgive. There's a peace that comes from knowing there's always that second and third and billionth chance, right, as we go through this life. There's a peace that comes from knowing just how much he loves us and why it is that he loves, and the specifics that come with that. And so go with that peace and that encouragement today and that challenge to tell the truth. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And you know, as we talk about different ones of these, this is a challenge because obviously we recognize that it's not being done all over our culture. And it's not just like in our culture, Lord, it's in our homes, it's in our families, it's in our relationships too. And I know we like to say we would always be honest, but that's not always truth. And so we have issues in our relationships that we're struggling with because the whole truth has not been conveyed. We're not moving forward with certain things because the whole truth is not there. Father, we pray more and more that you would give us the courage and the strength and the words in love, right, to share hard truths with people in our life that are missing the mark and need to be brought back into your care too. We pray for all these instances where we're terrified to share the truth, Lord, or where it's just convenient for us not to, and to be different and be more bold and just take the risk in sharing the truth in a way that lets us move forward with honesty and freedom so that we're not bound anymore to all this junk. That's our prayer today. Give us your strength and your spirit today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.